above all else. Above all else. Above the ministry. Above the mission. Above all else. Because you can do ministry and you can do mission and miss that which is above all else. And people do it all the time. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. If you have the audacity and the pride to say, that's not me, I'm telling you, you don't know the battle. Because every day we're prone to do something else other than above all else. So what I want to do this morning, I want to just kind of change directions. We're up late on the pulpit right now, and that's fine, that's good. But what I want you to do is we're not going the way of the notes today. We're going to Revelation chapter 2, okay? And I want you to think in terms of this whole thought above all else. Because if you don't have above all else, you'll always miss. If you don't have above all else, you don't have the North Star of the Word of God leading you the way God wants to lead you. Above all else is very important. And I think Revelation 2 speaks to that in a very mighty way. And so I want us to look. I'm going to pray again while the offering's being passed. We need to probably put up the lights so people can read their Bible, okay? And so let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for this worship today. Lord, I thank you for those that are worshiping even now. I thank you that worship is not just what we're doing today. It's 24/7 while we point to you. And I want to thank you that this team that came back today, the team that came back a couple weeks ago, Lord, every time they walked and reflected your glory, they were worshiping our great God above all else. And I pray that you'd bless this message. And I ask in Jesus' name that it would become quickly familiar to what God has put on our hearts to follow after him wholly. All in, like was said just a moment ago. And I pray that your spirit would move in a mighty way. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. First things, first love, first things. This is a message to the Ephesian church, chapter 2 in Revelation. He says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds. I know your deeds. I know your toil and perseverance, that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And oh, you have perseverance, and you have endured for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Matter of fact, sounds awesome. But I want you to notice what he says. He says, but I have this against you. What do you mean you have this against me? Look at all the things we've done. You just told us we're persevering, we're enduring. And I want to tell you, back in that day, it was a very significant day to persevere and endure. Ephesus is a Roman colony, okay? It's run by the Romans, and they worship what Romans worship, the gods of this world. And if you don't, you're persecuted. Some people believe that the Apostle John spent his last years there after his exile on Patmos, after they put him in boiling oil to try to kill him, but he persevered. That's what history says. You don't find that in the Bible. Persecution. Great persecution. You know, in Rome where the Colosseum is, used to be a lake. And Nero, who was an awful, awful emperor who hated Christians and persecuted Christians about this same time, lived in a palace. And in that palace, he could walk down to the lake and he'd have these parties. And if you were a believer and you were caught by them, or if your dad or your mom or your son or your daughter or your nephew or your aunt or your grandmother was caught, you know what he liked to do? He liked to dip them into tar oil up to their neck. Take them out and put them on a pole about the size of a telephone pole. And set you on fire to light his parties. That's what they did to Christians. That's what they did to believers. That's why when you go to the scripture, you say, man, these are the last days. You think these were the last days? You think those were the last days in so many ways. That's what they faced. These folks are in the middle of persecution, doing a lot of great things. But yet God would say, I have this against you. I have this one thing that I need you to take care of. I have this one thing that I'm really concerned about in your walk with me. And the next word is what? You've left your first love. You left the one thing that flows out of your life, everything else. You left your first love. You know, we're in a really good season here, Godwood. Really, really good. There's about 150 of you have come this last year alone. We're seeing folks baptized nearly every week. People making decisions, walking people through prayers of forgiveness and deliverance every week. It's a good season. But I'm going to tell you something. We could do all those things and still not love God first. That's why you need to be praying for me. It's a season that I can get to a place that I can really coast. And I need you to be praying for me. Prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. That's a confession of the struggle of the flesh and the spirit that we've been talking about a little bit. Out of Galatians chapter 5 that says, listen, the flesh struggles against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, so you may not do the things that you really want to do in the kingdom of God. And we're all prone to it. We're one decision away of going down a road that would bring destruction and devastation to our families and to our church and to our people. Don't think that you're standing, because he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Really important. This doesn't negate my faith in Christ, my confidence in Christ, my belief in Christ. But oh, we can walk in spiritual pride in a moment. In a moment. I have this against you. You've left your first love. You love ministry more than me. You love missions more than me. You love your wife, your husband more than me. You love your children more than you love me. First love. If you'll turn to, well, let me read it. I have this against you that you've left your first love. What is that? It's the honeymoon with Jesus. It's loving him first. It's seeking him first. It's loving him most. That's what this is. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, you have just this kind of ongoing battle between Jesus and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and testing him and trying to trick him and all those things. And in the middle of it, there's this guy. He, in chapter 22, he stands up. He's a lawyer. He's a Levite. He's a legal guy, a legalist guy, a guy of the law. And he says, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Verse 36 and 37, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. Now the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend everything else of the law and the prophets. In other words, it says, if you're doing these two things, you're worshiping God. You're loving your neighbor. If you're doing these two things, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength. You want to talk about being all in? That's what he's talking about. Loving God with all your heart. Well, let me just say this because it's really important. 1 Corinthians 13 says that you can speak with the tongues of men and angels but not have love. And just a noisy gong or clanging cymbal, right? You can give all your possessions to feed the poor. You can give your body to be burned and not have love, and it profits you not one thing. We call that dead works. Works without true faith. Motivated by my love for this great God of mine. And we all have glimpses of it. We all have experiences of it. I mean, the day you came to Christ, that season that you came to Christ, and how in love you were with this great God. Because of all that he did. You understood it. You knew it. You came out of the pit. You came out of the darkness. You came out of sin. You came out of strongholds. Well, I hope you did. Because that's what faith does. And you couldn't wait to do the first things. What are those first things? I'm just going to tell you, it's the Word of God is the first thing. The Bible calls it the pure milk of the Word. Calls it meat. Calls it food. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth. And oh, when you were young in Christ and you were just starting out, I'm telling you, if you truly had a true experience with Christ, you couldn't get enough of it. And then somehow we got distracted. Sometimes it's hard things, sometimes it's bad things, sometimes it's temptation, sometimes it's lust, sometimes it's greed, sometimes it's hurt feelings, sometimes it's church hurt. You want to walk in hurt? You're going to leave your first love. Because you're in a direction, in a way that you should not be. And that's why it's hard to forgive. And that's why it's easy to be angry. And that's why we can carry our feelings on our sleeve and get our feelings hurt really, really easy. It's where we could mull on things, marinate in it, and wake up and think, oh my gosh, Lord, where am I now? I'm at the precipice of the pit again. Back in the sewer. This is what he's saying to the church at Ephesus. He's saying, listen, you're to love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And somehow you're kind of deviating from that. You're kind of worshiping the perseverance, and you're kind of worshiping the ministry, and you're kind of worshiping these things above me. And look, all those things are great. I don't want you to stop doing those things. But you're losing. You're leaving your first love. That first love is him. And to do the first things, you look back and you think about your life as the, you know, when you were falling in love with one another as a couple. And you did the first things. You talked and you talked and you talked and you talked and you talked. You communicated. You spent time together. And you did the right things. You won each other's hearts. And unless you're dysfunctional, you wouldn't be married to the one you're married to if you hadn't done those things right. It's the same thing with the kingdom of God. When you love Jesus, he's your first love, you just have a hard time neglecting the Word of God. It's the way to eat spiritually. It's the way to consume. Look, most of you don't even remember what I talked about last week. Maybe you left thinking it was really a great message. But I think if we took a poll, I might not even remember at this moment what I talked about. I do, but may not. I mean, what did you have to eat last night? Think about that for 5 minutes, right? Think about this. We need to be people who are all in loving Jesus. First love. All in our marriages, loving Him first. Now, you know, Jesus says, look, the first thing is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to do an illustration I don't think I've done in about 6 months. You love God, and you love your neighbor. And loving your neighbor is not way down under your feet. Watch this. It's right there. It's right there. And I'm telling you this, relationships are supposed to be all there. I love my neighbor. My closest neighbor is my wife, emotionally. My farthest neighbor might be the Hani of Southwest China. But I'm to love them as I love myself. And I'm going to tell you this, it's really important. You love your closest neighbor and your farthest neighbor. I love my wife. I love my children. I love the church. I love my enemy. I'm just going to say this. Do you believe that the Christian life is something supernatural? Because if you don't, you're probably lost. It's supernatural. It doesn't make sense what we can feel and we can do. All the things that might have been done to us, all the things that have been spoken to us, all the things that have just been hard and difficult, where we doubt God, we doubt His presence, we doubt Him in our lives, and all those things that we all have struggled with. The Christian life is to be supernatural, folks. It doesn't make sense to the flesh. How can I be a man or a woman that has just been so overrun with lust, but now I'm walking with Jesus and I'm no longer overrun by it? Or anger or unbelief or unforgiveness or any of those things. Why? Because it's a supernatural work. And you find it when you're choosing the one thing to love Him most. First love. This is why it's so important to the mind of God. It's so important to God Himself. It is so important because this is what the Christian life is all about. Loving God most and loving your neighbor as yourself. And then, by the way, there's the new commandment to love one another as I have loved you. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus love Peter any less after 3 times he denied him? You know, because they know? Yeah, no. That's supernatural. Didn't love him any less. Matter of fact, found him on the shore going back to fishing. He thinks he's done. Have you ever thought you were done? I'm going to tell you, if you're in Jesus, you're never done until you die. He thought he was done. And Jesus came and said, hey, I got a plan. You don't love me like you should right now, but you will, because one day somebody's going to come and going to take you and stretch you out and take you to a place you don't want to go. And this He was signifying by what kind of death He would glorify God. Wow. You mean I'm going to love you that much one day? Absolutely. That's what I've come to do. I've come to do such a work in your life that when it comes to the end, you're going to love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, because that's the work of God. It can't be your work. It's God's work. But I want you to notice what He says about this. He says, listen, you got to remember where you fell. You got to remember where you've fallen. I have this against you. You've left your first love. You don't love me like you used to love me. There's a scripture in the Old Testament, and because I'm kind of doing this on the fly, I can't even remember where it is. At this time in my study, I'd be looking it up. But there's a scripture that says, in the Old Testament, you remember your betrothals? Remember when I betrothed you? Remember the relationship back in the day? Do you remember that? What's happened to that? What's happened to that with me? Hey, folks, what's happened with that in your marriage? What happened to that in the way you love people? What's happened to you? Church at Ephesus, you're doing some great things, but you've left your first love. Notice what he says. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the first deeds, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. We were in Ephesus doing a pastoral care ministry with Todd and Gwen. And we got to see Ephesus. It's nothing but ruins. There's nobody there except tourists. Too many tourists. Walk the same places that Paul walked. Folks, if we will keep the main thing, which is not missions. Grew up as a good Baptist that said that's the main thing, that's not the main thing, because you can do missions and go straight to hell. You can do missions and be a mean missionary. Abuser. No, the main thing is Him. Loving Him. And letting life flow out of that. Letting ministry flow out of that. But when we leave our first love and we can do it for stuff that are God's gifts to us. I can love preaching more than I love God. I can love pastoring more than I love God. I can love counseling more than I love God. I can love the gift of hospitality more than I love God. I can love the gifts of the Spirit more than I can love the giver. It happens all the time. And a question that I want to ask us all, including me, is, are we on the precipice of losing our first love? Ask that on the way back with your wife and your husband. Because I'm telling you this, if you've left your first love with Jesus, it was really easy to love everything else you're supposed to love most. Pray for your pastor. No, I'm not doing anything I'm not supposed to be doing right now. But I need your prayer. I want to finish strong. Next 15, 20 years, just finish strong. Finish strong with you. Finish strong together. I'm not going anywhere unless God plucks me. Don't want to go anywhere. I'm asking you to pray for us. Pray for my family. Pray for our leadership. Pray for our staff. That we'd be above reproach. That's the biggest thing. Men and women of integrity who say it and live it, not say one thing and do something else. Who are as godly in their home as they're godly appear to be at church. I'm telling you, when we leave our first love, here's the warning. Okay. What does it mean to snuff out the witness? It's a very serious thing. I know your deeds. They're awesome. Their perseverance, they're awesome. But hey, there's something happening here. You've left your first love. Remember where you fell. Okay, so listen to this. Where did you fall when you decided not to love Jesus most? I'm just going to ask that question right now. And I'm asking God to show you if you've left your first love. Where was that? When did that happen? Why did it happen? What did you do to get distracted from the one thing? Remember where you fell. And then repent. You know, repent is a really good word. It's not an awful word. It's not. It's an awesome word. It just simply means to repent that we're going one way in my life, or our marriage, or our parenting, or our jobs, or just I'm going one thing. You know, you might be embezzling something that's just a small amount, but it grows and it grows. You might be entertaining lustful thoughts that grows and grows. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you this. This great God gives you the power to repent, to stop, remember where you fell, and get on the right road. I love what the word does. The word will always, always rebuke you where you're wrong. And then it will correct you. Okay. Do you know what correction is, literally? See, if I'm rebuked by the Lord, I ought to just lose it emotionally, spiritually. It ought to make me just done. It ought to make me have a godly sorrow over my sin. And it ought to bring me to my knees. But you know what the word correction is? The word correction is literally, he picks me up and he puts me on the right track. That's what correction is. And that's what the Word of God does. That's why it must be centerpiece in your life, centerpiece in your home, centerpiece. It's the first thing. Oh, I just don't get what I used to get when I first came to Christ. Well, you got to press in. You got to lean into it. Because the moment that I decide not to do what the Word says to do in any area of my life, the Bible calls me a fool. And I build my house on the sand. Remember where you fell, repent, and get back to the first things. That's simple enough, isn't it? It is simple. Not easy. Simple. It's how you come to Christ. It's how you move in Him. It's how you grow in Him. It's how you see the blessing of God. And you're loving Him most. And you're seeking Him first. Bow with me in prayer. Why don't you do that? Lord, I don't know why the change today. Maybe it's just for one person in here today. But I'm praying, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we'd be a church full of first love and first things people. Men and women of the Word of God who aren't tossed to and fro like waves because of what somebody else is saying or culture is saying. But our authority, final authority, is the Word of God. Not what we feel, not what we perceive, not what we falsely assume, but Your Word. I pray for lovers of the Word today. People who love the Word, that believe it, that read it, that study it, that do it, that sing it, that speak over one another with it. The Word of God. First love, first things. Oh God, may we be first love, first things, church. And then we would see life like the missional things, like youth ministry, like our times together on Wednesday nights, our Awana, our children, our youth, just flow out of that. And oh God, I just pray for people that would choose this one thing. It's You. I choose Jesus. Just like I did when I was 10. Just like I did when I was 17. Just like I did when I was 27. I choose Jesus to love You most and to seek You first. Father, would You come do that today? There's someone in here today that just knows exactly where they fell, where they stopped loving You most. I just ask, God, that today this place would be an altar right here, right now, to say, God, I'm coming back to You. And I'll do whatever You need to do that. To confess my sin, to ask for forgiveness, to forgive that man, to forgive that woman, to forgive that dad, to forgive that mom. To give what You deserve from a worshiper of Jesus. That's what I choose today. Lord, my first love left. when I got angry. And I'm returning back to you today. Or when I got disappointed. Or when I got hurt. Or when I took up the offense. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm coming back to first love. And I thank you, Father, for those people that are doing that right now. And the joy and the peace and the life that's coming right now over them. Supernatural, right now, right here. And I pray this for our church, for our leadership, for our people, for every area of ministry that we're a part of this week. And I thank you for it, and I bless you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Okay. Bible talks about a godly sorrow. Why don't you start there? If this is appropriate for you. I'm not saying this is appropriate for everybody. Don't get anything on you that's not on you. Okay? But let's just make sure we're loving him most, seeking him first. And I just promise you, you'll see a new joy. You'll see a new work. You'll see a new ministry. You'll see a new chapter. You'll see a new provision. You'll see a new peace. You'll see a new love, a new joy, a new patience, a new kindness. Why? Because you're simply walking by the Spirit when we do that. As always, available afterwards. I'm available this week, more than you might know, okay? And would love to talk more about this. And I know other people in leadership would do that. And I know people in your small groups, in your Sunday school teachers and your leaders would love to talk to you more about this. Let's push forward, first love, first things. And make nothing else the idol. Not Cottonwood, not the good times, not the mission, none of that. Him and him first.